Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Remember, today's theme is strategy. And my next guest actually used strategy against the British government to defy the law and to broadcast rock and roll to teenagers in Great Britain. He and his cohorts worked in the English Channel aboard Radio Caroline, a converted steamship with a giant radio antenna attached. In America, we take for granted that the airwaves are free. Not so in Great Britain during the 1960s. The media was controlled by the BBC, which refused to play too much rock and roll for fear of the influence it would have on the young people. Cleverly utilizing a strategy, our next guest went offshore 3 miles into international waters, where Radio Caroline broadcast back to Great Britain, the Netherlands, and France. Tom Lodge was born in 1936 in a cottage in Surrey. It's a beautiful, sounds like a bucolic, the village of Forest Green, England. You might say that Tom's family is actually responsible for rock and roll. His grandfather, Sir Oliver Lodge, was a scientist, and he invented wireless technology in 1894. That was 2 years before Marconi developed the radio. He also invented the loudspeaker. Without either of these two inventions, rock and roll would have floundered. Tom was educated at Bedales School. It's a boarding school where he developed his interest in music. At 17, Tom hitched across Europe, and he made money by playing his guitar wherever he stopped. In 1954, on his 18th birthday, he emigrated to Alberta, Canada. He joined the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation there as an announcer on CFYK. Then in 1960, he returned to Great Britain as a CBC correspondent. Tom remained with the CBC until that day in 1964 when he met Ronan O'Reilly and joined Radio Caroline. Tom currently lives in Still Point, which is near Santa Cruz, California. Welcome to the show, Tom Lodge. How are you today?
I'm very well, well indeed.
Oh, well, good. It's glad to have you on the show. You're a returning guest for us, and I just love this whole idea of pirate radio. But for those of you who have not heard previous interviews, set the stage for us. In what ways is the music different today in Great Britain than it was in the United States in the 1960s?
Well, in the early 1960s, the music in England was very dull. In fact, one of the things they did was they would have a string band play American hits, and they dumbed down all these. The push and sounds of rock and roll, but these teenagers, they got a hold of these records from American sailors in the ports and started copying them on their guitars, on their keyboards and so on, and they started to learn this kind of music and play them in their local clubs to their kids, but BBC wouldn't touch it.
That's amazing.
They like the Beatles because She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, and I Want to Hold Your Hand is quite safe. But they wouldn't touch the more funky bands like the Yardbirds and the Kinks and the Hollies and so on. So that's what we did. We'll put the ship out on coast so that we could broadcast the good rock and roll that was happening in England, and of course created the British invasion of America.
There you go. Well, most of us my age and older, we remember the British invasion that you just alluded to, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Dave Clark Five, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
And we felt at the time here in the United States that these British rock bands were invading us. In fact, it may be more to the point that these bands were really fleeing Great Britain for the larger, more receptive market here in the United States.
Oh, totally.
Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing was, they took the blues and black music from America and Englishized it, so to speak, and sent it back to America. There you go.
There it is. Repackage it and send it back to us and sell it to us.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, describe Radio Caroline and how you got involved with it, because it's a heck of a story.
Well, I was working for the CBC as a correspondent, and I, one day I walked into this pub on the King's Road in Chelsea, London, and on the radio was playing this awful music, What is Delaware? <You know? laughs> Perry Como's song. And, I mean, I was just appalled because I had come from Canada and I loved rock and roll. And I said to the bartender, that's pretty awful music. Haven't you got anything better? And he said, that's the best we got. And then this guy sitting at the bar pipes up and said, but we're soon going to be changing that. And I said, how are you going to do that? He said, we got a ship off the coast and we're going to be broadcasting. I said, I want to join you. I want to join you. He said, why, are you in radio? I said, yes, yes, absolutely. And that was how I got onto Radio Caroline, just meeting in a bar.
Just a chance meeting in a bar in England, and there you go.
Yeah.
Well, now, how did you, the person you met, of course, was Rowan O'Reilly, the Irishman who came up with the idea. How did he come up with the idea to broadcast offshore, particularly using an old tramp steamer like he did?
Well, the thing to remember is that the British have been dominating the Irish for about 400 years, and Ronan's grandfather was one of the people in the uprising of 1916 when Southern Ireland became independent, and he was in fact executed by the British. So I think there was a kind of a feeling there in Ronan about the English, but he was a nonviolent man. He said, instead we'll get them with music, we'll entertain them.
There you go.
And so it was a strategy, just like you've been talking about strategy, of changing the culture from the stiff upper lip, stiff starched way that the English were at that time into what became known as the swinging 60s in England.
That's it. We're talking to Tom Lodge, everybody. He's the author of the new book. It's just out in hardcover, The Ship That Rocked the World, How Radio Caroline Defied the Establishment, Launched the British Invasion, and Made the Planet Safe for Rock and Roll. Tom, you were on board Radio Caroline as a DJ for a long time, but life aboard Radio Caroline was probably not all fun and games. You had to contend with things like weather, seasickness, and worse. Tell us about how Radio Caroline had to weather a couple of different hurricanes in the English Channel.
Yeah. Well, first of all, in the Irish Sea, when I was on the North Ship, we went into what they call Gale Force 12, which is hurricane weather, and we had to pull up the anchor and keep the ship running into the waves so we didn't capsize, because if we went broadside because of our tall, tall mast, we would have been capsized for sure. So that we managed to survive that one. And then when I was in the North Sea on the Southern Ship, a storm came up and broke our chain, and our by that time our propellers were covered in barnacles, so that wouldn't work. So we got washed onto the shore, and we got hauled off the ship by the seafaring rescue people on what they call breeches buoy, which is kind of like a pulley, and they saved our lives. And then we eventually got the ship fixed, and we were back on the air again. We just kept going, but there were so many times when death was just hanging over our shoulders.
Yeah, to say the least. And not the least of which was the military, a form of the government, a branch of the government. They were not too keen on your broadcasting there in the Channel or the Irish Sea either. Tell us about the military threats of invasion of Radio Caroline.
Exactly. Well, recently I was in Vancouver, and a friend took me to meet a guy called Colin Hall. Excuse me. And Colin Hall told me he had been with MI5. He'd been stationed in Ireland, and he got a phone call from Brigadier General George Dixon, who said to him, I want you to get the SAS boys, which is kind of the SWAT team, the English SWAT team, and I want you to get this helicopter and go and raid the ship and stop it from broadcasting. And Colin Hall said to Brigadier General George Dixon, he said, sir, I can't do that. He said, why? He said, because all the SAS boys are fans of Radio Caroline.
There you go. They would not have done it. It would have been insubordination of the highest ranks.
They even sent the Royal Navy to intimidate us. So what we did is we looked at all the names of the ships, and we sent requests to the ships, and we invited the sailors to flash their lights at us and so on, and so all the audience was listening to this drama of the Royal Navy coming near to us, And they just turned around and sailed away. They realized that it wasn't going to work.
It was a 1960s radio version of reality TV, wasn't it?
Totally, yes.
Well, tell us about, you know, because you didn't live entirely on board the ship Radio Caroline either. I mean, you had to come on shore and go back to the ship
right,
and so forth.
Right.
Tell us about some of your experiences when you were on shore and some of the notoriety that you received at being a DJ.
There was one particular time. I was just finished my show on Caroline, and we got this radio message that there was a tender coming to get me. They had this fishing boat that would bring supplies, was coming to get me and going to take me ashore. And they didn't tell me why, but they said it's important you come ashore. When I got ashore, there was a limousine there, and the fellow said, "Come on, you, I'm taking you somewhere." And I said, "Where?" He said, "It's a top secret." I said, "Oh, okay." He said, "But here's a tape recorder and a microphone, so I guess that gives you some idea." I said, "Who am I going to interview?" He said, "It's top secret." So we head off, and I see we're heading to London. And then when we get to London, I see we're gone into Chelsea, and we go into a little muse called the Vale. And then there's a door in a wall in there, and he says, "You go through there." So I go through there, and I meet Tony Barrow, who was a publicist, and I said, "Hi, Tony, who am I interviewing?" He said, "It's a top secret. You'll know soon enough. Just get your equipment ready." So I'm there setting up the tape recorder and the microphone and so on. And I hear this sort of laughter, and I, at the side of my eyes, I see these fellows in suits, and I take not much notice. But they come over to me, and I look up and said, "Oh, it's the Beatles." Wow. I thought I was going to interview the Queen. and so I had no preparation. I hadn't any questions for who I was interviewing. And so I interviewed the Beatles, and they were just nothing but fun and messing me up and answering silly answers to my serious questions. And I've transcribed the whole interview in my book, and how I felt and how they looked and so on. And that's one of the chapters in the book.
Oh, that's great. We're talking to Tom Lodge, everybody, author of the book, The Ship That Rocked the World. Well, tell us, Tom, of all of the discussion, the dialogue back and forth with the Beatles, what stands out in your mind as the most memorable part of that interview?
Well, I would say it was John Lennon. There was one point in there where I had been trying to get them to come on board Radio Caroline, and so I thought, well, maybe a little competition. And I said, "You know, we've been trying to get the Rolling Stones to come on, so far I haven't been successful, but maybe you guys." And John Starr glared at me and shouted at me and put on this, I think it was an act at the time, about how awful it was to try to make him compete with the Rolling Stones. And then he turned it right around and was funny. And it was like, for a moment I was shocked. I thought, wow, I'm being really attacked. And then the humor came in.
There you go. Now, Tom, radio has always had a real role in shaping stars and making stars out of virtual unknown bands. Give us the names of some of the bands at Radio Caroline really put on the map by broadcasting their music.
Oh, sure. I mean, there was the Kinks and the Hollies, and the of course the Manfred Mann, Eric Clapton, so many of the bands of that time, Dave Clark Five. There was a time when the Dave Clark Five was considered bigger than the Beatles. And that was because we were playing them a lot. And, of course, the Animals. Pete Townsend of The Who wrote to me and said, and this is an exact quote, he said, "Without Caroline, we would not have sold a single record."
Wow, high praise indeed.
But then he goes on to say, and this is the funny part, he says, "Tom Lodge was a vital figure in Caroline's most vital times. As such, he deserves a knighthood for the indirect millions he helped guide from the pockets of budding UK pop stars towards the coffers of the Treasury. Sometimes the law is more than an ass. Pirates? They were angels.
Oh, I love it. We're talking to Tom Lodge, the author of the book, The Ship That Rocked the World, How Radio Caroline Defied the Establishment, Launched the British Invasion, and Made the Planet Safe for Rock and Roll. Tom, we've got to take a short break here. When we come back, I want to talk about something that I know is near and dear to your heart. It's a movie that came out last year. It's titled Pirate Radio, and I want to get your thoughts on that. Don't answer it now. We'll answer it after this short break.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is strategy. My guest is Tom Lodge. He's the author of the book, The Ship That Rocked the World. Here is a man and his cohorts who used strategy to actually defeat the British government, and I think it's a fascinating story about pirate radio, and in particular this ship called Radio Caroline that was broadcasting rock and roll from the English Channel to Great Britain during the early and mid-1960s. Now, Tom, just last year, a movie came out depicting Radio Caroline. The movie was titled Pirate Radio. It starred Philip Seymour Hoffman. The movie didn't do too well at the box office, but some say, however, that the Philip Seymour Hoffman role was modeled on you. Is that true or false?
It could be, except I was in my 20s, and he looks like he's in his 50s. So, no, we were all kids on the ship. I mean, there was nobody over 27. Most of us were 20, 21, 22, that age. We were just having fun, a bunch of kids who were defying the government and having fun, whereas that movie depicted these old men with big bellies. Nobody's waist was more than 32 inches with us on the ship. I mean, you can see the different energy. Another thing about that movie, it stressed itself was about parties and girls and drugs and so on. We never had any. We didn't even know what drugs were in those days. We were very innocent about marijuana and everything. We hadn't even heard of it. We had a ration of one beer a day, and there were no girls on the boat, on the ship, and there were no parties. It was the music. We were just absolutely enthusiastic about the music and picking the best music that was coming. And there was hundreds of records coming on. Onto the ship with each delivery. So it was the music, and that's what the movie lost. That's why it wasn't a success, because it didn't get to the core of what we were about.
I see. So it was all about the music in your case. But
yes. What
did you think of the movie? I mean, this was depicting not only your time, your era, but literally it was depicting you. What did you think of the movie?
Well, I think they missed. I mean, talk about left field, you know. Left field. They really missed, because Richard Curtis, the director and writer of that, he could have really made something happen that was really interesting. But he was more interested. I don't know if it was Universal who led him astray, or if he was just his own ignorance. But it's totally nothing to do with what happened.
All right. Well, then to compare and contrast, how and why is your book better than the movie Pirate Radio?
Because it's my personal experience. It goes into a lot of the details and feelings of what was happening inside with us, both on both the ships. We had two ships, and also in Radio Caroline House. We had this house down in Mayfair in London where we operated from, and all the sort of dramas that were going on there. And the Who's manager opened an office in Caroline House and shot some of the early videos right there There was all this going on, and this is all in my book. It covers these various adventures as well that I had with, and of course I was with the Rolling Stones. I did a concert with them, I remember once there was this young fellow came with hat in hand and a 45, and he comes up to me and he says, "Will you play this record on your radio station?" And I looked at the record and said, "Well, I have a listen to it, and if I like it, I'll play it." Well, I did like it, and I did play it. And the name of this man who came was Richard Branson.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, that's how he made his success, was because of Radio Caroline. It was the same with Island Records and Chris Blackwell. All these new labels suddenly started to emerge. The monopoly of these few English labels was disintegrated. Talk about a strategy of changing things. Suddenly everybody was making money, And the whole fashion industry suddenly exploded because we were wearing flamboyant clothes when we did the shows on shore. The groups were wearing flamboyant clothes, and therefore the boutiques all opened up and designed all these clothes for us in what was called Carnaby Street. There was no Carnaby Street before Radio Caroline.
Wow, how about that? We're talking to Tom Lodge, everybody, author of the book, The Ship That Rocked the World. And Tom, you said that the reason the movie missed is because it was not about the music.
Yeah.
So you've got the perspective now of having a few years underneath your belt. You're able to look back at the 60s. What is it about rock and roll that captured the fancy of British teenagers in the 1960s?
It was freedom, baby, freedom. That was what it was saying. See, it's hard for Americans to appreciate a teenager growing up in a culture where manners and right behavior are not only so important, but they're rammed down your throat at school and at home, and the right way to behave. And suddenly there is this hip-shaking, dancing music happening, and it just freed everybody. I've had so many letters from people that says, you know, I was a teenager at that time. I used to sneak the radio under my bedclothes so my parents couldn't know I was listening to you guys. You know, and I mean, everywhere you turn, you'd see this explosion. The difference between 64 and 66 is night and day in England.
And that's because of Radio Caroline, the influence
totally,
of the...
Totally because of Radio Caroline. If the British establishment had had its way and it hadn't happened, I would suggest that England would still be the same as it was in the 50s.
An interesting thought. Now, Tom Lodge, what is it that shaped your musical taste? Because you grew up, you learned music, you played guitar around Europe and so forth. What shaped your musical taste towards rock and roll, and what type of rock do you prefer, personally?
Well, the very first time that I started I used to go up to London once a week I was learning acting, and I used to go up to this place, and then I had time, and I would go over to the American Embassy and listen to their big transcription records of the old blues and old folk songs and so on, and I used to learn them on my guitar, and on the train going back to school, I would learn the songs. So that was how I started getting into that kind of music myself. And then later on, when I got to Canada, I was hearing all this amazing music on the radio stations. Of course, this is the 50s, and I remember I was down in Virginia, and I heard listening to this radio. And the DJ said, "We got this new guy. He's really interesting music," and he played it, and it was Elvis Presley, and that was it. And also another thing happened. I was working on a daffodil plantation in North Carolina. I'm 19, and the weekend comes, and I go into Raleigh, and to see a movie, and the movie was called Blackboard Jungle.
Oh, yeah.
The theme tune was Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley and the Comets, and I said, yes, that's my music right there.
All right, so
really the beginning of rock and roll.
Truly, Bill Haley and the Comets is considered one of the pivotal points, the beginning of rock and roll.
Yeah.
So you like Bill Haley and the Comets. What other groups do you like personally?
Well,
that
Van Morrison is my king. I just can't get enough. Of course, in Radio Caroline, it was them. That was what the Van Morrison group was called, them. And I played anything that they came out with. I don't know, there was just something about the way he sang and the music and so on that just touched something deep in me. And of course, the Rolling Stones, I've always been a fan of the Rolling Stones, and the Who, I love the Who, and I have to watch CIA, not because of the show, but because of the Who at the beginning. They're singing. I mean, that's just great music. And of course, there's Spencer Davis and the Kinks, Ray Davies.
Oh, okay. Now I'm going to put you on the spot. Of all of them, who do you like best?
Van Morrison.
No doubt. All right.
No question.
All righty. Very good. Van Morrison is coming to Santa Barbara soon, so for those of you that are listening to the sound of my voice, you may want to check out the schedule up at the Hollywood Bowl, up at the Bowl up in Santa Barbara there. Sure. All right, Tom, now you've written this book, and it's just been re-released in hardback with a lot more information. The book's titled The Ship That Rocked the World, How Radio Caroline Defied the Establishment, Launched the British Invasion, and Made the Planet Safe for Rock and Roll. So I ask this of many of the authors that come on. What did you get out of writing this book?
Oh, just such great memories and feelings. My publisher would say, "Hey, what really happened then? How did it feel to you?" And so this triggered a whole lot of background experiences that I had kind of put aside in my mind, and so it re-energized me, maybe got the youth back. And oh, by the way, this book now is available in any bookstores where books are sold. Also, Amazon is selling it too.
All right, so you can get it at all the usual suspects. You can get it at the bookstores. You can get it on Amazon. Probably get it directly from the publisher. But so it sort of helped you to relive your youth and so forth. I think that is great.
Absolutely, yes.
Looking back on it, though, what do you want people to remember after reading this book? I mean, you sort of capture the flavor of the times, the 60s, in this book. How do you want this book to be remembered?
I would like people to realize that when they have a dream and when they have a passion, it can materialize. They can do it. Doesn't matter what anybody says, whether it's your parents, your teachers, your wise counselor. It doesn't matter. You can make it happen.
There you go.
It's anything you want is available, and that's what we did. I mean, who would imagine that you could take a ship off the coast and change the whole British culture.
And that's exactly what you did. We're talking to Tom Lodge, everybody. Tom, we've only got about 30 seconds left, but Radio Caroline is not only in your blood, obviously it's part of your family's history growing up, and now Radio Caroline's become sort of a family affair. Tell us a little bit about how your family is continuing the legacy of Radio Caroline.
My son, Tom Lodge Jr., is doing a show on Radio Caroline, which is also available at radiocaroline.co.uk. can be listened from anywhere on the internet, and also Radio Caroline is goes out on Sky Satellite over Europe, and it's they also have a ship, and every now and again they do special broadcasts from the actual ship, which is on the coast of England.
Oh, that's amazing. We've been talking to Tom Lodge, everybody, author of the book, The Ship That Rocked the World, How Radio Caroline Defied the Establishment, Launched the British Invasion, and Made the Planet Safe for Rock and Roll. It is a great read if you have any interest in music, if you have any interest in the 1960s, or really any interest in changing culture. This is a book that you may want to pick up. Tom, you're a delightful guest. Thank you so much for being on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll be talking to you down the road.
Thank you very much indeed, Bill.
It is my pleasure. Thank you so much. If you missed all or part of my interview with Tom Lodge, you can always find it up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. Today's theme was strategy. Tomorrow we've got some special guests that I want to plug. We've got David Limbaugh is going to be on the show. And if the name sounds familiar, it should. He is the brother of Rush Limbaugh. He's going to be talking about the changing political culture here in the United States. Also, Dave Zirin is going to be coming on and talking about sports ownership as well. So you can listen in tomorrow here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. That brings us to the end of another show. You've been listening to Brainstorming. We're here Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock on KKZZ. Coming up next is Living Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. Go out and make it a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October's